had I the heavens embroidered cloths, inwrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths, of night and light and the half-light, I would spread my cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. Beautiful words of W.B. Yeats. Our chalice lighting words today are by Cliff Reid. We light our chalice to celebrate our heritage of light, the light of science and of art, the light of story and of poem, the light of nature and of reason, the inner light of spirit and of truth. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other, in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away, and the clouds of war and climate change overshadow us. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. May we be grateful for the freedoms we have, and respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, suffering in any way. Amen. Our first reading today is from Writing the Popular Novel by Lauren D. Estelman. Fiction should be better than life, or it has no business being here in the first place. Better than life in this context refers to the natural human craving for sense and order, and the responsibility of the writer to satisfy it. The world cries out for editing. Life is chaotic and absurd, and people are imperfect, unpredictable creatures. There are no beginnings or endings in nature. One episode not only leads to another, but often runs parallel or perpendicular to it, while incidents with the potential to be dramatic and fascinating have an exasperating habit of petering out, their promise unfulfilled, and whatever lessons they might contain obscured by their own ambiguity. As intelligent adults, we accept this situation because we're resigned to the wisdom that we can't change it. When it becomes too much to endure, we turn from it to a world that offers reason and delivers closure. This is why reading is so often described as escape. Simply stated, we expect fiction to make sense, because life does not. I invite you now to join with me, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our next reading was a thought for today back in 2022, and it's called Words, Words, Words. Words, they are all around us. We see them, we use them. Harsh words, soothing words, biting words. Words that give pain and sorrow. Words that give joy and pleasure. They are vital to communication. When words are spoken, there are reactions, negative or positive. Either thoughts are triggered, or emotions fired, or actions performed. Words colour our behaviour. And how lovely it is to hear words that are calm and free from rancour and aggression. To hear words that lift the soul and leave it with renewed vigour. Such words are the sparks of purity. It is important to remember that our speech indicates what is in our minds. As the thinking, so the words uttered. Mental calmness makes our words calm. A pure mind makes for pure words. It is said that speech may exalt someone to kingship or send him to the gallows. We should never let ourselves indulge in false, bitter, and vicious speech. Our words should reflect our true inner nature, that of purity and peace. Words once spoken can never be recalled. They reverberate all around beyond our control. Today, as we utter words, what effect will they have on those who hear them? Excuse me. Will they be the words that are poisonous and cause pain? Or will our tongues be like that of the nightingale, sweet and so very soothing and lovely to the ear? Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. Divine Word, who speaks in us for our recreation and salvation, we give thanks for the wordsmiths whom your gift of words has inspired, for those who reveal to us the secrets and strivings of their souls, that we might better understand and nurture our own. For the poets whose words move, delight and challenge us, weaving webs in which are captured wonder, joy and pain. For the storytellers, bards and scalds, the novelists, playwrights and scriptwriters, who transport us to other worlds, that we might better understand our own. For those who bring to us the arcane mysteries of science in words that we can comprehend, and help us in our striving to understand the universe. For those who bring us news from our tumultuous world, the information with which we make to make our choices and our judgments. For those whose skill it is to translate the words of others, reversing the Babel curse and restoring the wholeness that was lost. Divine Word, we give thanks for all the honest, healing wordsmiths of the world. Amen. Our final reading is by John Mellor. Imagination is the ability to dream dreams, to visualize new concepts and ideas, to be creative, to have a thought and visualize it in a tangible way. It is the ability to simply suppose. It is a fundamental part of human life, a positive thought process and a source of inspiration. Imagination came spontaneously to us as children, but we have been taught rationalism is to be desired above imagination. We need to acknowledge the importance of thinking and experiencing images. The soul without imagination is what an observatory would be without a telescope. Our belief is stimulated by our imagination. The gift of imagination can release in us a whole flood of ideas, giving us the ability to look beyond our own situation, to extend our understanding, and help us to discover the new. Jesus excelled in the use of imagination. A grain of mustard seed, the prodigal son, and the Good Samaritan, to name just a few. It is through imagination that we form our pictures of God. It is a precious gift, and this imagination helps us to reach out to a God who is ultimately beyond our reason and our understanding, but who, on the other hand, is as close and near to us as the very air we breathe. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection. So find a comfortable position in which to sit, so that you're able to sense the presence of the Spirit among us and between us, across the miles and across the technology. There will be some words, there will be a time of silence, then a few more words. In our time of prayer now, may we bring our contemplations into the stillness and know that in that place we may hear the deeper stirring of the soul. May we remember the simple words of Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. The place of the Spirit can be a place beyond our human expression, but may be felt in our hearts as a oneness and connection in love. And if the stories of our lives make that difficult, let us be kind to ourselves and simply know deep down that love is here and that the light of our souls is always greater than the dark. May we listen for the soul. May the soul feel nourished. May we connect to its bright colours, that its wisdom and power may lead our hearts. And beyond the confines of the human mind, may our spiritual hearts know deeply the loving power, blessings, and healing balm of the ocean of spirit flowing through us and all that is. So let us take some quiet moments now for our personal prayer and reflection. May we bring the light and peace of the soul and its wisdom with us now, as we close this time of reflection. Amen. Let us have some music. as some of you may know, I am an avid reader. And when I'm driving all around the district in my car, I often listen to audiobooks to pass the time. I love stories. They help me to make sense of the world. There are two kinds of stories. Fiction, and the stories we make up about our situations and experiences to try and make sense of them. In her wonderful book, Rising Strong, social researcher Brené Brown, who is a fabulous storyteller herself, writes, "The idea of storytelling has become ubiquitous. It's a platform for everything, from creative movements to marketing strategies. The idea that we're wired for story is more than a catchy phrase. Neuroeconomist Paul Zak has found that hearing a story, a narrative with a beginning, middle and end, causes our brains to release cortisol and oxytocin. These chemicals trigger the unique human abilities to connect, empathize, and make meaning. Storytelling is literally in our DNA." So let's talk about fiction first. It was the American author Mark Twain who caused one of his characters, Pudd'nhead Wilson, in his book of the same name, to say, "Truth is stranger than fiction." But it is because fiction is obliged to stick to probability, and truth ain't. Truth is stranger than fiction. How very true this is. I loved the passage in writing the popular novel, which formed our first reading. Lauren D. Estelman has the right of it. The world cries out for editing. Life is chaotic and absurd, and people are imperfect, unpredictable creatures. To which last I would add a silent, thank God. As a writer myself, it always makes me laugh when a character in a book says something like, "It was incredible," or "I couldn't believe my eyes." When I know full well that whatever unlikely, incredible thing is happening, it is because the author has decided that it will. The difference between real life and fiction is that we have absolutely no control over what happens, either to us or in the world. But we do have the free will to choose how we respond to it, either skillfully, to use the Buddhist word, or not. Whereas even the most rounded, complex fictional character is doing what they do, thinking what they think, saying what they say, because the person who created them has made it so. In fiction, the call to adventure is always, always answered, because otherwise the book or film would be a very short one. Samwise Gamgee reflects on this, on the stairs of Cirith-Ungol, towards the end of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Two Towers. He says, "I used to think that adventures were things the wonderful folk of these stories went out and looked for, because they wanted them, because they were exciting. But that's not the way of it with the tales that really mattered, or the ones that stay in the mind. Folk seem to have been just landed in them usually. Their paths were laid that way." but I expect they had lots of chances, like us, of turning back. Only they didn't. And if they had, we shouldn't know, because they'd have been forgotten. In most fictional works, with the possible exception of George R. R. Martin's A Game of Thrones, the central characters will tend to win through in the end, because we, as readers, find this so much more satisfying. The main character will be changed at the end of the book or film, but they will survive in some form. As Lauren D. Estelman explains, when real life becomes too much to endure, we turn from it to a world that offers reason and delivers closure. This is why reading is so often described as escape. Simply stated, we expect fiction to make sense because life does not. Nevertheless, we are reasoning creatures who use words to attempt to make some kind of sense of our world, which is far untidier and more chaotic than fictional ones. Which is why the words we use, whether they are in speech or in writing, are so important. Because of the impact they may have on those who hear or read them. The stories we tell about ourselves and other people can have a huge impact on our lives and on the lives of those others. You only have to look on any social media platform to see both the positive and adverse effects of stories. And, sad to say, many read them uncritically and believe what they have read. Which is why the message of our second reading, The Thought for Today, is so important, given the huge impact that reading other people's words can have. I believe that all writers, whom Cliff Reid calls wordsmiths, and speakers, have a responsibility to be careful about the words they write and say, because words have power. They can paint a picture in a reader's or listener's mind, influence them for good or ill, or even to rush off and change their lives. So it is vital that we who can make our livings through words are careful about what we write, what we share. And I don't mean only authors of fiction. I also mean journalists, non-fiction writers, storytellers, teachers, lecturers, even ministers and other worship leaders. We always need to bear in mind the influence that our words might have on the reader or listener. This is also true in conversation for everyone, and doubly true when posting on social media. The saying I learned in the playground, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never hurt me, is the most inaccurate maxim I have ever heard. Bones mend, bruises heal, but harsh words, teasing words, belittling words, words filled with hate, can leave scars that never heal. they have a real and very evil power. Even when the person saying them thinks they are doing it in jest, or are unaware of the power of what they are saying. Another saying from my childhood, often quoted by my mother, was, "If you can't think of anything nice to say, don't say anything." And I've seen a quote about right speech. If you propose to speak, always ask yourself, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Attributed to the Buddha. I googled it just now and found a fascinating article on a blog called Fake Buddha Quotes. The author gave a genuine quote, translated from the Vaka Sutta, written in Pali by Thanissara Buddha, which is even better, if not as snappy, as the fake quote. It reads, "Monks, a statement endowed with five factors is well spoken, not ill spoken. It is blameless and unfaulted by knowledgeable people. Which five? It is spoken at the right time. It is spoken in truth. It is spoken affectionately. It is spoken beneficially. It is spoken with a mind of goodwill." Such words are a power for good. This is why our powers of discernment, aided by our imaginations, are so important. As John Mellor wrote in our final reading, imagination is powerful, giving us the ability to look beyond our own situation, to extend our understanding, and help us to discover the new. But we have to be careful. We have to discern whether the things presented to our imaginations are presented from a place of truth, honesty, and kindness, or whether they are shared with malicious intent. Because, as I have said before, words have power. Words have so much power, especially in conjunction with the human voice. They can be used to encourage, sustain, energize, and uplift. Or they can be used to arouse hatred, bitterness, despair, and all other kinds of bad feelings. On the one side, look at someone like Martin Luther King and his "I Have a Dream" speech. On the other, turn to any documentary about World War II and listen to Hitler mesmerizing his German subjects into going along with policies of vengeful genocide. Or Donald Trump fomenting ill will and division with his every tweet. Words have so much power. With one word of praise or blame, one human being can build another up or fling them into the pit of despair. The human memory has an uncanny knack of remembering words spoken in anger or despite, which can cause people with fragile self-esteem, that is to say, all of us deep down, to think badly of themselves. Whereas words of praise may be shrugged off. How many times have you heard an actor or singer say that they only remember what is said in the bad reviews, even if those are outnumbered 10 times by positive ones? I can now attest to the truth of this. The one bad review I have on Amazon haunts me. But a friend who is also a published author told me that you're not a real author until you've had a bad review, which cheered me up again. Although why that should be true, I'm not sure. We are complex human beings rather than fictional characters, so we need to be aware of the power of stories, to ensure that the words we choose to use, because we can choose, unlike those characters, are a power for good, rather than a power for evil. That they build up, rather than breaking down. That they inspire, rather than wounding. Because we live in the real world, and truth, although it can often be stranger than fiction, is in our gift. We can choose, in Phil Silk's words, to be honest but not hurtful, wise enough to know when to be silent and when to speak. May it be so. Our closing words today are by Lizzie Kingston Harrison. Spirit of life and love, as we leave here today, we give thanks for the many stories of our lives, and for all those who hold us gently while we tell them. We leave grateful for the listeners, for those who sit quietly and give us the gift of a version of ourselves born in a moment of tender grace. And we leave grateful for the storytellers who, with courage and love, give us the gift of their true selves. Amen.